This is WMRW LP 94.5 Warren, Vermont, streaming live at WMRW.org. We are an all-volunteer, non-commercial, independent community radio station located right here in the Mad River Valley. The following program represents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Rootswork.
Well, folks, good afternoon. How's it going out there? My name is Amy, and I am co-host of the 5-H show with Jerry, who is not here this week, but you've got me, Amy, and I'm here with a special guest, Kelly Hunter, and we are going to explain the birth chart of the United States from an astrological point of view. What is going on for our country right now? And I'm super excited for this conversation. Let me just tell you that you are listening to the 5-H show, and the 5-H's stand for health, happiness, harmony, humor, and humanity. We just added that last H because you are included in that. I'm included in that. We are all part of this big family. And so thank you for joining me for today's show. We have live in the studio Kelly Hunter, who is living in Vermont. She is one of our Vermont neighbors, and she is an astromythologist. How cool is that? And we're going to ask her what that is, and what does a day in the life of an astrologer look like, and all of those wonderful things, and learn about how we can just learn more about the stars and the planets and how they affect us every day. And so thank you for joining me. I've got a little ad coming up for an upcoming event that you may have heard about if you've even been listening to mainstream radio. We've broken the commercial ceiling with this topic here coming up. So after this quick ad, I'll be back with Kelly. Thanks for listening.
How does the use of face masks and coverings affect our health? The pandemic brought their widespread use with little or no thought given to the respiratory hazards of masking, and those hazards are creating a public health emergency. It's time to assess how the widespread use of face masks has been affecting our health. The Vermont Emergency Forum to assess the respiratory hazards of masks will address these issues on Friday, May 12th in Burlington City Hall's Contois Auditorium, and you are invited to attend. Presenters include experts addressing the current use and effectiveness of masks and the importance of respiration to all of the body's systems. And OSHA specialists will explain our right and our responsibility to assess the hazards of masks. Learn more about this all-day forum and register at vtmasksurvey.com. The Vermont Emergency Forum to assess the respiratory hazards of masks on Friday, May 12th in Burlington City Hall. Register now at vtmasksurvey.com.
Well, folks, thank you for joining me for the 5-H show. We have here at the microphone, Kelly. How are you today?
I'm good. I just got back to Vermont after being away for a bit, and I'm like so glad to see the spring and the beautiful spring greens and the buds coming out on the trees. It's a wonderful time of year here.
It is so beautiful. I know, and on our ride, I picked up Kelly at the airport just now, and brought her here in time for this radio show, and we were so busy just enjoying the leaves and all the spring activity that we were just so excited catching up. It's such a beautiful time of year to be with each other.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Kelly, tell us about yourself. You are an astromythologist, and what is that?
Well, it's taking the astrology and the mythology that I've also studied for many years together, putting them together, because astrology has a lot of mythic characters in there, right? We talk about the planets and Venus and Mars and Mercury, and they're, you know, the gods of the classic, you know, Greco-Roman world. And so there's a lot of mythology that informs astrology.
That is fantastic. You know, I do a children's radio show out of WGDR, WGDH, and they air it here at WMRW on Saturdays. And my last episode was just about Greek mythology, because we were traveling through space with some space cats, and I got curious about the myths behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is perfect. And Kelly, you were a programmer over there at WGDR, GDH.
Yes, I was for over a year.
Yeah,
yes,
you had a weekly astrology show?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Fantastic. And so you've been on the radio. We can also find your work on YouTube as well.
Right? Yes, yes. I always thought I should be on YouTube, and then somebody invited me to do a monthly YouTube show with him, and great, I don't have to deal with the tech, and I'm on a YouTube with David Farrell, that's D-A-V-Y-D, Farrell, who's a quantum plant healer, and we talk about the moon cycle, the new moon, the full moon, how the planetary patterns, which astrology looks at, how they go through the month. And the new moon starts a monthly cycle, mm-hmm. and then we get to the full moon, and then it winds down, and we integrate the implications of that moon cycle into our lives. And so we do that. I also write a newsletter in that same form. Writing is a different way of sharing information. So I enjoy doing both the newsletter, which you can sign up for and get a free email with the newsletter, or look on my website, which is www.helia.com. Helia is a kind of way I am trying to share the fact that there, in the older days, like way back when, cultures had the sun as a female energy, because it's the creation of life. And so there were a lot of solar goddesses rather than gods. And I'm honoring that in the name of my website, Helia, not Helios.
Ah.
Yeah, for anybody who's into mythology.
Right, the name for the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So it originally was feminine. Or in some
in many cultures, yes. Eastern cultures, mm-hmm. Japan had the sun goddess Amaterasu. Mm-hmm. And so did some of the Baltic countries. And I think it was more widespread than we think. And, of course, we've all heard about the man in the moon.
Right?
So,
right. And then it just evolved sometimes.
Yes, yes. Wow. In Hindu mythology, the moon was the man in the moon who would visit a different of his wives each night, depending on what stars the moon was visiting each night of its 27 and 28 year, day.
Ooh la la.
Orbit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do that monthly YouTube. You have your website, heliastar.com. Mm-hmm. And you've also, I've seen you with Pam Gregory.
Yes, yes. Pam Gregory is a really well-known and listened to a YouTube astrologer who is very experienced and is a great resource for people who don't know a lot of astrology, or people who do, because she explains things very well, and she does one for the new moon and one for the full moon as well. And she got interested in my new work of the last, you know, say 5 or almost 10 years now, with the new discoveries going on in the far solar system, Pluto and beyond. Mm-hmm. And that's called the Kuiper Belt. And since the new millennium only, they've been discovering more and more objects out there. And astronomers use categories, so they all know, yeah, okay, if it's that kind of a name, like if that's a Greek god or goddess, yes, okay, it's got to be one of the planets. If it's a Shakespearean character, it's got to be one of the moons of Uranus. So it's really, they do that, you know, and Jupiter's moons are named after all the various nymphs he had affairs with and things like that. So the Kuiper Belt objects, some of them were named like Pluto for gods of the underworld. Mm-hmm. But then they realized we need a bigger mythic pool to draw upon. So a lot of these Kuiper Belt objects are being named for indigenous creator gods from around the world. And it's so interesting. And it's a whole different section of the solar system. So I think of it as a different realm of consciousness, even.
That we're becoming aware of physically and non-physically.
And these indigenous creator gods bring creation into being from the invisible patterning in the quantum field. So they're quantum planets, so we could say, are planetoids or whatever they want to call them. I call them KBOs, which is one of their official designations, Kuiper Belt objects, KBOs.
KBO, yeah. I love that.
So I got really interested in them and started doing talks on them. One of my first talks was on an Australian group called the CIA, which stands for Cosmic Intelligence Agency.
Oh, that's my kind of CIA.
Yeah, and I'm agent number 116.
Oh, good.
So when I did one of their webinar presentations, Pam Gregory was listening to it, and she mentioned my work. And so I become more known. So that's been great to be able to share this work. And we've done, Pam Gregory and I have done a couple of YouTubes together too, because we're both so interested in this topic and the implications to consciousness and what these myths are about, which I'm trying to be very careful about because these are from different cultures. Mm-hmm. And I want to be very respectful of the culture, right. You know, and not just, you know, kind of look at the myth, for sure, the myths of these creator gods named Maki Maki from Easter Island, Rapa Nui people. There's Taronwako from the Iroquois people. There's Kwawar from the Los Angeles area Tongva people. Mm-hmm. There's Sedna from the Inuit culture. There's Haumea from the Hawaiian culture. So it's really very exciting. And in fact, I got so excited about it and wanted to, like, especially let children know who are being born with these planets newly discovered about them. So I designed a coloring book called Planetary Gods and Goddesses Coloring Book.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's fun. I mean, I'm not a totally fine artist, but it gets the information out.
But you are a fine artist, though. I mean, I've seen some of your...
Well, I have fun with creativity, and that's one of the ways I do my research, actually. You know, I was looking at these different cultures and pulling images from the culture, and so I think that helps inform how we view these objects, you know, these new... objects is a funny word because they're energies. You know, I think of the stars and the planets having a kind of living energy like Earth. We know Earth is a living energy. Our Gaia, you know, our Terra, we know that she's living and we're living with her. Mm-hmm. So that's where mythology comes in to help us interpret the patterning and cycles of the astronomical data. And astrology interprets them in relation to how we're living our lives.
Yeah. So how did you get into astrology? What's your background and education and things?
Well, my dad was very encouraging about astronomy and the sky. I remember getting up one night to see a comet or something. But basically, I went to Middlebury College, and I was in the class of 1970. And so when I first got there, you know, the late 60s, things were changing so much. And I went home, and my sister had gotten all these new kind of hippie friends. And one of them could guess people's signs without having met them before. And I thought, wow, that is fascinating. So we took a trip to Boston, and in the Sphinx bookstore, there was a poster with an announcement of a free correspondence course from the Rosicrucian Fellowship. So I signed up for that course, and that's how I got started. There was a lot of math back in those days, too. Thank goodness for computers, because there's a lot of math to get together, a chart. And so that's a lot easier now when you don't have to do that. It's all computerized, and we get more exact numbers, which is great, too. But that's how I started.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And did you say something about a degree or something on the way here? I wasn't quite catching what you were saying.
Well, I did my master's work at Vermont College of Norwich University, and my thesis my thesis was on astromythology and the psychological value of symbolic language. I was analyzing myths of Pluto with the underworld and the goddesses who go down to the underworld, like Persephone. Mm-hmm. And in Sumerian culture, it was Inanna, that was actually a myth that described how Venus moves through the sky and disappears every so often. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Yeah. And also Psyche and Eros. Mm-hmm. Psyche has to go down to the underworld to finish a task that she was given by Venus.
Wow.
So that was what I did. And actually, I'm getting that material together to put out there for people to read.
Right. It sounds like, it's almost like it's coming back around,
yes,
you know, to your roots
totally.
Here.
Totally. Even in the astrological cycles, it's coming back around. Mm-hmm. And partly that is because of Pluto, which we're going to be talking a lot about today.
Yeah. So what is Pluto? Tell us who we're talking about.
Pluto, yes. Pluto was discovered in 1930. And when it was discovered, it was so different because, you know, here we have the rocky planets. They're the ones near us. Well, I'm not sure Venus is exactly rocky. It's more kind of hot. Wow. Hot mess.
Hot mess, yes, I've heard that description before.
But then, you know, we have the larger planets out there past the asteroid belt, which is a whole bunch of, like, millions of rocky little things out there that have been given names, and probably whatever your name is, there's an asteroid named that.
Wow,
yeah.
There's that many.
There's millions. Yeah. So, you know, they opened it up for people to name them.
Oh.
And then we have Jupiter on the other side of the asteroid belt, which is a gaseous planet, the largest planet, king of the planets, right? Mm-hmm. And so then Saturn also, large gas planet, Uranus and Neptune follow that. And then we get Pluto, this tiny little, like, icy rock, you know, sort of thing, with several moons going around it. And that's what the Kuiper Belt objects are. They're these very small, icy, you know, kind of rocks or worlds, let us say better. And so they started discovering them and realized that Pluto was actually in that category. So I call Pluto the king of the Kuiper Belt.
Ooh, I like that.
And mythologically, we know of Pluto as the god of the underworld. So he's the about death and rebirth, about major transformation. And, you know, as we go out farther into the solar system, the planets have longer and longer orbits. Mm-hmm. And so, say, like Saturn takes a right around 30 years to go around the sun and through all the zodiac signs. And, you know, you may have heard about the Saturn return, when Saturn comes back to where it was when you were born, right around 29 or 30. And that's like that turning 30 moment. You got to, like, claim responsibility for your life. You know, it's a kind of test, like it's a graduation. Like, are you really together here? You know, Saturn's going to test you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so so that's Saturn's cycle. But we go out and we have Uranus, say, 84 years to go around the sun and through all the zodiac signs. So it spends 7 years in a sign. Neptune is twice that far. It's a 167-year orbit. So Uranus spends 7 years in a sign. Neptune spends 14 years in a sign. And then Pluto has an irregular orbit because it's sometimes quite far out and then it comes closer.
Mm-hmm.
So Pluto can either be 12 years going through, say, Scorpio, which it was in 1980s and into the 90s. And sometimes it takes 30 years to go through a sign when it's, say, in Taurus. But nobody alive has Pluto in Taurus. That would have been a while ago. But Pluto is so slow. So these are the generational planets, and they're going to tell something about what is the agenda of your generation if you have Uranus in what? Virgo or Libra, or, you know, so it's going to tell something about your generation. And also these outer planets are about what is your contribution? What is your generational contribution to the collective consciousness? Because these planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, are about the signs of the times and what changes are going on and how we can glean some meaning from them based on what sign, say, Pluto is in. And that's the big topic for today, because Pluto is actually changing sign now for the first time since 2008.
Ah.
So Pluto is changing sign, and that's a big deal, because it really is about a new developments in our collective consciousness.
Mm.
So what's transforming in our consciousness?
Okay, so where are we going from, and where are we transforming to?
Well, Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008.
Okay.
And if you remember that was
the crash, right?
It was the bank bailout thing because of the housing bubble crash. Obama got elected that year. It was a big change in the collective consciousness.
Well, change was his motto, wasn't it? Obama's.
I forget what that, you know, that motto was. Something certainly along that line. And that was kind of a major symbolic election. So we had this new era then of Pluto saying, we've got to change all of the systems and structures we're living under. And suggesting that there's a lot going on behind the scenes with corporate power.
Oh.
That's what Capricorn's about. It's about who's in charge here, who's making the rules, what are the systems and structures that we're living under. And Pluto's going, these are not working. We gotta like look at what's going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lot about what Pluto represents, because he's the god of the underworld, like what's going on below the surface, behind closed doors. So this has been going on since 2008. Pluto just changed sign last month on March 23rd and went into Aquarius.
Ooh, 23-23, which was kind of significant too. But
oh, I hadn't thought of that. I like that. Good catch,
Amy. It was
Amy.
A big day. It felt like, I know, I'm into numerology too, and it felt like a really big day.
Yeah,
it felt like.
Well, that was. I mean, the astrologers have been like excited about this and for a while.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, what does that mean? Because Aquarius is so different than Capricorn. Every sign that follows one to the other is very different.
Yeah. Here, let's just try these real quick. Then you'll be able to hear it. Whoops, sorry.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, so this is a big deal. And I want to go back a couple of years to January of 2020.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah? Remember that?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
That was a pretty intense winter and spring.
That was.
And so on January 11th or 12th, there was there was an eclipse right then, but there was also a conjunction. That means two planets are in the same place. And Pluto and Saturn got together, which they only do maybe every 35 to 40 years. And they say, okay, we're stripping it down here. It's something really big is changing. It has to happen. Saturn's about timing. It's like, okay, it's time for Pluto.
Da, da, da.
And so it's like, all right, we're not doing this anymore. That's done. We're done here. World lockdown.
Wow, which it did end a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Or it felt like everything was
that
ending,
was
actually.
It. You know, that Pluto and Saturn hadn't gotten together since 1981, and that's when Reagan came in.
Yeah.
I'm not big on history, actually, so don't expect a lot of that. But, so it was a big change.
Mm-hmm.
And people who were born in 1981 really felt that 2020 moment. Mm. They were very challenged, very challenged, that group especially. Basically, that's it. We're not doing this anymore, says Saturn and Pluto. It's time. You know, we're stripping this down. We're changing it up. And, you know, we know now that the bridge has burned behind us. Mm-hmm. We are not going back to anything we used to call normal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I agree. I feel this whole new arising. But it's not how it's being described. It's funny. It's like there's sort of,
we don't know yet,
right,
because it's still emerging.
Exactly, and I think there are forces trying to pigeonhole what that's going to be. It's going to look like this.
Well,
and
people want control.
Right.
That's the Capricorn thing. You know, people who've been in control still want control.
Yeah,
and that's the dark side. Some of the dark side. I mean, we all need to. Capricorn's an earth sign. We all need to be responsible. And that was also part of it. You need to take charge of your life.
Mm, yes. People, right, were sort of left like, okay, ball's in your court, you know, side of the court. What are you going to do with it now?
Yeah, Saturn's big question always is what's working and what's not? And Pluto was saying most of this whole system is not working. And don't you experience like things aren't working the way they used to?
Right.
There's a lot of dysfunctionality in, you know, certain systems when you try to do this or that. I've been having like post office problems lately. and certain government things and certain businesses, that's all very Capricorn.
Right.
So Pluto's saying, you know, okay, you know, that's the old system where that's not working anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they definitely aren't.
So Pluto into Aquarius is, Aquarius is more of a social sign, more of a let's get together and love one another right now kind of sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all of these Aquarian age songs, you know, that came up in the 60s and they're coming back around again in a kind of way. But what does that mean? It's like if the bridge has burned behind us, how do we want to live together globally now? What kind of new arrangement, new even motivations are we using to develop and co-create? And that's part of the new Kuiper Belt. You know, are we ready to take on this new level of consciousness and create something that's new?
Right.
And going to work for everybody, not certain people only.
And that's why we couldn't imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
Even right now, sitting here, we can't imagine it because we're still expanding our consciousness at the same time.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And we're really examining, you know, and this is like examine your life and what's working and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how do we want to be living from this point forward? What's your vision of the future? Can we have a positive vision? Because there's a lot of chaos and darkness. You know, chaos theory says everything falls apart. But if you can find the seed, you know, of creativity at the heart of the chaos, it can unfold, you know, a new way can unfold.
Yeah, I just got chills. That's
and so we're so being invited for that.
To find that
and
seed.
And this is like claiming your own power or giving it away. That's another theme of Pluto.
Ooh, can you explain that a little bit?
Well, another way to say it is there's a basic choice in life. Are you coming from love or are you coming from fear?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about claiming your power is I know what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to listen to anybody else about that because they don't, they are not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a kind of individual responsibility and maturing that is part of number one, Saturn, because we talked about Saturn, right? And that January 2020 moment in part was because there was so much disturbance and fear and like what is really going on, and it was hard to tell what was even really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all of these rules and regulations and have-tos and, you know, that kind of became contentious in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be part of the chaos and what feels like polarization between different points of view, too. And so how can we respect each other, but also claim, here's what I know is the right thing for me.
You know what you're reminding me of are Scorpios, and with Pluto being
Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio.
Would that help me understand sort of, you know, the Scorpios in my life are just, they're so much better at that than I am. You know, being their own ally and standing up for themselves and drawing boundaries and being more clear about just what you were describing.
Scorpio is an all or nothing sign, either into it or not.
Right.
You know?
Right. They're not going to fake it. Yeah. I mean, most of the time. You know.
Pluto was in Scorpio from 1983 to 1995. So if you're in that generational group, you have this like really intense will.
Yeah.
And capacity for regeneration that Scorpio is about. It's like alchemy. You know, if you don't like how you're feeling, you change it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can do that for you.
Right.
And this is also about then the coming from fear or coming from love.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's go back a moment to December of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
When there was that beautiful Saturn-Jupiter meeting up, mm-hmm. that conjunction that was in the sky, and very remarkable because they were so close together. So Jupiter and Saturn get together every 20 years, and they're about a new cultural experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, on solstice, winter solstice of 2020, they together went from Capricorn into Aquarius, which is what Pluto just did. So they already opened the door to what we could call the Aquarian era, because we are definitely entering a new era.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another marker for this that kind of previewed a little bit what is potentially possible with Pluto going into Aquarius. Now, when one of those long cycle planets changes sign, it's not a clean entry. You know, it's like, okay, so Pluto went into Aquarius on March 23rd, last month, 2023, and it's going back into Capricorn in June. And it's going to be in Capricorn until January 2024. And then we get a whole nother take on this new era.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll tap back into Capricorn just for a couple of months in the fall of 2024. But by November, it's in Aquarius fully, and it's going to be in Aquarius for the next 20 years.
Ooh.
So this is, we're just getting a taste. We're just like, you know, hopefully breathing some fresh air, because Aquarius is an air sign.
Ah.
You know, so it's like, all right. This is like something fresh and different. And so it's like, how are we experiencing coming, you know, more of this new social context,
mm-hmm.
since, again, the bridge has burned behind us.
Right.
So what does that mean now that through everybody's experience in the lockdown time and, you know, kind of a sort of enforced solitude and coming back to self, if you use it that way.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yes, yes. Because, life as normal wasn't happening. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how has that changed your life irrevocably? You know, so now we're like, okay, how do we get together? You know, how do we go above the arguments and find that place where we are in, let's see, what do we want to say? A space that we can share,
mm-hmm.
that is above all of that contention.
Ooh, I love that idea. The air, the fresh air rising above sort of, and getting in more of the energetic field.
Yes.
You know, like the two energy fields of the Aquarius sign. It's like we're learning to live together, but keep our own vibration, but also acknowledge and appreciate each other's.
It's a sign of individuality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like being an individual in a group, in a society, in a nation, in a world, you know?
Yeah.
And so that we've gotten a first take on how is that working and what's still getting in the way. And that's what we take care of when Pluto goes back into Capricorn, June through, you know, December and even a little bit into 2024. Okay, what's not working? And so, let's find a new way.
Yeah, so let's use this burst of fresh air. The window's open, guys. It's spring. The fresh air is coming in, and we're going to explore and just dream big and really aim high. And
yes. Yeah. And who are the people you want to be with? Who are the people you like? You know, we have neighborhoods, you know, we don't get along with everybody all the time, but hey, let's do a garden together, mm-hmm. you know, or who are the people I really feel on the wavelength with, where we can really co-create something that's great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and let's focus on that for these next few months so that when it retrogrades again,
yeah.
and goes back, we kind of can carry that dream through that process.
Yeah, and we can start planning more,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of do an outline, try, you know, kind of make a plan of how to proceed.
Right, what actions to take.
And this is all systems and structures. We're talking, Pluto takes it all down. And
wow.
we're seeing a lot of major change going on. And this month, we have just had an eclipse on April 20th that was mm-hmm. wowie, zowie astrology. Pluto was like thick in it, mm-hmm. you know, it was like a turning point. And we're still in that moon cycle. And on May 5th, we have a lunar eclipse that is aligned with Uranus, the change agent, the revolutionary. And so Uranus is going to say, okay, we're changing this up. And I think this has to do with the financial system because it's in Taurus, which is a sign of a money sign, you know. So, and it's also a sign of, it's an earth sign, how we're doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also, and we're getting more and more Taurus. Even at the end of the month, Jupiter is going into Taurus too. So the opportunities for doing things in new ways. And I'm going back to gardens because that's also a Taurus thing,
yeah.
especially root vegetables
wow.
are ruled by Taurus.
Oh, good. So
and
get
trees are ruled by Taurus. You know, Taurus is a tree hugger sign. And Taurus is also a sign of like what is going to be sustainable in the long run.
Mm.
And so that's going to be a real helper planet for us to determine, you know, what is, you know, sustainable and what is not.
Right. And so that
realistically in grounded yeah. terms, not just theoretical terms.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is a good balance for all that Aquarian.
Yes.
You know, to kind of bring
Absolutely.
It to the roots, too.
Yes.
As above, mm-hmm. so below. And it's interesting how that eclipse a week ago or so happened right as we were entering Taurus.
Yes.
So there have been all these coincidences, like the solstice eclipse, and it just
yes.
feels like the astrology more than ever is lining up
yes.
so perfectly.
Yeah.
And every like month or two, there's something big happening.
Yeah, this
there.
Is this is a couple of big months in March. The like you said, the equinox new moon was like another whopper.
Yeah.
And so much Aries, which is the new blazing a new trail. Experimenting.
Right.
We can't go back. We've got to blaze a new trail. This is like when the wagon trains went west, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. There was always a wagon train scout who would go ahead of the wagon train and find the best trail.
And there's lots of us scouts right now who are, yeah, stepping
uh-huh.
up. I just want to remind listeners, we are speaking with Kelly Hunter. She is a mythic astrologer. Yes, thank you. And you can find her work at heliastar.com, H-E-L-I-A, Heliastar, for the female sun, our star.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get to United States chart.
Yeah.
You're right, though. The choreography of the planetary cycles has been, like, astounding, like, awesome, like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're
so.
Living in amazing times, folks. That's why we brought Kelly here today, so that we can really understand what we're going through.
It is a new era, and
yeah.
Pluto is one of the markers of that. But there are other things too. So, so the thing is that Pluto has an orbit of 248 years.
Mm-hmm.
So last year? So, if the United States often astrologers use the Declaration of Independence, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the birth chart of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was July 4th, 1776. So I haven't really added up 248 to that,
mm-hmm.
but we're having a Pluto return in this country, which means Pluto's coming back to where it was when that declaration was signed. And so Pluto's coming back around and saying, okay, where you at, people? This is the first one. The first one. So it's stripping things back down to where did we start? and where are we now in this nation based on the founding principles of this country?
That's a good check, right?
Yes.
To go back and check. How are we doing, folks?
Uh-huh.
And what maybe needs to be changed or updated or brought back?
Yes.
Reborn.
I think of this as a reconstitutionalizing.
Yeah.
Going back to the foundation and just checking in, how far off have we gotten?
Right.
And what is meaningful in this as we move into this new era? So Pluto was in Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot about power structures, like who's in charge, you know?
Ah.
So I think to some extent, we've been seeing a lot of corruption revealed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're done with that yet because Pluto is not done with Capricorn yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be more revealing. And so this United States chart had Pluto really toward the end of Capricorn. So this was specifically most peak last year,
okay,
in 2022, that Pluto returned for the United States. And you can Google that because a lot of astrologers have written a lot about it because it's so rare. So now Pluto in the United States chart, you know, is in Capricorn, as I said. In the United States, a July 4th Declaration of Independence is a Cancer country.
Mm.
And so Cancer is, Jupiter was in Cancer, Venus was in Cancer, the Sun was in Cancer, and Mercury was in Cancer on that Declaration Day.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a lot of Cancer, all the personal planets that are never too far from the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cancer is a caring, nurturing energy. This is the mom and apple pie theme that we have here. But it also is a very, sometimes it can get, be very prickly pear, Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't get too close. You know, I've got to protect myself. It can be a very defensive sign.
Mm.
And it can also be very subjective. It can take things in a very personal way. Sometimes when it's not meant that way.
Right. Oh, wow.
But, you know, our country's been accused of being isolationist, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like, but we've got a big country, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, you know, there's a lot to say about Cancer, but all of these planets there is quite something. So, in fact, the whole time Pluto's been in Capricorn, starting in 2008, more specifically a couple of years later, Pluto's been opposite a lot, like Venus and then Jupiter. Well, the 2008 was, like you said, it was a bank crash or the bubble bursting or whatever. Venus is a money planet.
Mm.
So this was part of that experience. And so Jupiter is also opportunity, and Jupiter is beautiful in Cancer. It's like having a green thumb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So whatever you put your hand to with that, whatever you care enough about in the Cancer way, because Cancer is a kind of mothering, nurturing sign, and it has a very caring, you know, kind of feeling nature.
Wow. So innovation and invention. I think of our early years as a country, you know, the first couple hundred years, we were well known mostly, I think, for inventing new things and all kinds of conveniences. And
Well, I like that song, "O Beautiful for Spacious Skies, for Amber Waves of Grain."
Yeah, feeding the world.
Yeah.
Right? We were known for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's part of our national, you know, wanting to care and you know, bring me your troubled people, right?
Right.
Kind of thing. You're tired, you're poor, you're humble masses yearning to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do we stand with that one? But, you know, it is a kind of blended country in terms of, you know, all the peoples of the world. So, you know, Cancer's like a welcoming, here, I'm going to give you a hug, you know, kind of sign. And then the Sun sign being there and also Mercury. Now, Mercury is opposite Pluto in this country, and Mercury is retrograde in the United States chart. So that's a think twice kind of thing. You know, Mercury retrograde has a bad reputation, but it's about slowing down and thinking things over.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not too impulsive, you know, not too rash, and going back over things to make sure, yeah, this is the way we want it. So when I said, you know, cancer can be very subjective. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's taking things, as I said, too personally, and like Mercury has to think, did they mean it that way? Did I misunderstand it? So there's this thing about how am I understanding things, and I need to look back at that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and I've been saying this for years, Pluto in the chart opposite Mercury can mean controlled media, because Mercury rules the news. It's like the messenger of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
So it can represent the potential for controlled media. And another thing I think about the media is over here in the States, we hardly get any global news.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, we don't know what's going on over in such and such.
And that's sort of like staying in our shell, you know, of
yeah,
the crab.
Yeah, it's like the crab shell, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. But also, you know, can mean, you know, protecting ourselves, mm-hmm. and making sure that, you know, we are taking care of ourselves. That's important for cancer. Mm-hmm. It's like the caretaker, take care of thyself, you know.
Yeah.
You can't keep giving if you just run out of whatever, food, you know.
Right.
You know, so, but anyway, so that's part of the cancer. And that I think this thing about controlled media has come up more in the last couple of years with this Pluto return.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of questioning going on about the media recently.
Oh, yeah. A lot of big figures leaving networks and starting their own. And, you know, it does seem to be fracturing apart. Less people are watching the mainstream and making their own media, really. Just getting involved.
Yeah, well, it's important to do your own research now that especially we have the internet and we can do that, not take somebody else's word for it.
Right, that's revolutionary.
Yeah, that is revolutionary. It's like think for yourself. Don't let other people think for you and form your opinions about things because there might be some distortion. So we have, that Pluto in Capricorn coming back around and a lot of questions coming up. So now that it's going into Aquarius, there's a kind of more question going on in a different way. And so this affects our country. Mm-hmm. Now, Pluto has not been in Aquarius since the 1780s and 90s. And that's when, you know, we had the Declaration of Independence, and then we had the war. So this is the energy that was going on, Pluto in Aquarius, the people standing up and fighting back and saying, no, we don't want England to rule our country. Mm-hmm. You know, unfair taxes, you know, and all of the things that they fought for. And it was I've read that it was not everybody agreed with that. You know, that there were a lot of people called royalists that wanted, you know, England to continue to rule our country. And there were people who wanted to, like, this is our country. We came for freedom, often religious freedom or freedom from persecution in various ways. And that's what we're going to fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to take this again. Right. So that was part of what the war was about.
Right.
And it's also the wording of, you know, like we the people. So it's about the people. Mm-hmm. Not about the corporations, not about, you know, the people in power. This is like the people taking back their power. And you mentioned Pam Gregory earlier. She's done a beautiful YouTube on Pluto going into Aquarius that talks about the French Revolution when Pluto went into Aquarius as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a global thing. This is not just about our country. You know, Pluto's like the transformation going on globally in terms of the themes of Aquarius and the people. And the United States has the moon sign in Aquarius. So this is, you know, we do have a feeling of neighborliness and friendliness. Aquarius is a very friendly sign. It's friendliness, you know, and it's also a sign that respects the individuality of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you for who you are, not who I want you to. You're not being who I want you to be. Like, no projection like that. Aquarius is really open sign like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, you know, a sign of the mind. It's a sign of thinking, of objectivity, of logic, of sometimes theory. But we've got to check out those theories and see if they really work in reality, you know. And so that is one of the dangers of Aquarius, that we get all theoretical. It sounds like a really good idea. Let's vote that in. And then it's like, wait a minute, this isn't really working. So
yeah.
That kind of thing. And again, this is a global thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and say, even say in some of the systems like, people are talking about supply chain problems and global trading, and the whole global systems are, you know, we need to review this now that we are more needing to honor other countries and not invade them.
Right. Right. And have fair trade
yeah.
deals and
yeah.
things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And a fair financial system that, you know, doesn't make Africa countries all poor because
right.
their resources are being taken away.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But also the problem with Aquarius is it can be too heady. Mm-hmm. So it can also have to do with artificial intelligence and our use of that. Mm-hmm. What's an appropriate use? Like, you know, of the internet we've got going, of all of the social media we've got going, of like how we communicate on those mediums. And also, again, this artificial intelligence that sort of like is getting to be a big topic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's training us while we're training it. And it's sort of, yeah, hard for anyone to really put their finger on the pulse and understand what's even happening there.
Yes. And that's why, you know, we're just entering this Pluto in Aquarius, you know, we haven't gotten too far into it yet, but we are getting some signals of the themes that are going to be very meaningful.
Yeah, what do you think is going to be meaningful? What are you seeing so far for signals?
Well, I'm... Oh, so Uranus, the revolutionary change agent, the awakener.
Yay!
You know, if Uranus is active in your life, you're probably having a hard time sleeping.
Ah.
And Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. Some people think Aquarius is a water sign, but it's not. It's the water carrier. It's like the clouds going through the sky and letting the rain come down, you know, at certain points. It's an air sign. So this is a sign of the mind and, again, of objectivity. And one of the downsides of Aquarius, it can step back too far and disconnect. It can mm-hmm. get very disconnected and ungrounded. So we need... like the Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
So Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius, being in Taurus, says ground it, you know, make it real,
mm-hmm.
see if it really works on the ground.
Hallelujah. We need that to
yeah.
balance. Yeah.
Yeah. And how can technology say, might there be technologies, even natural technologies that say, I heard this idea, I love this idea, that there's going to be some kind of creature that develops in this new era that eats plastic.
Yeah.
You like that one?
Right.
I mean, that sounds great.
Well, that's how nature works.
Yes,
right?
It is.
When we have an abundant excess of dung, beetles grow up and eat that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Something comes alive to
balance
it. And
we already know about a mushroom that can like take pollution in and clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing. This is like Taurus is nature at her best.
Yeah.
You know, Taurus is like those pictures of like the woman like lying back on the field of flowers. What was that famous picture?
Oh, yeah, with all the flowers
yeah,
all around her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like loving the senses and really appreciating the beauty and texture and scent, you know, of a flower. You know,
mm-hmm.
that what joy there. You know, nature's glorious that way. And so, yeah, nature's going to help us. And so that's part of what I see and what my vision is, that more of that kind of thing is happening. And I think that's so important to have a positive mind, not a negative mind, not to dwell on that. And I see myself falling below the line quite often lately, and it's like, okay, wait a minute. I got to get myself together and get back on the positive wavelength.
Right.
Because how we feel and how we think really impacts our reality.
Right, well, because it affects how we act. I mean,
yeah.
if we feel hopeless, we're not going to do anything. If we feel insignificant,
yeah,
you know, or ashamed of ourselves, we're not going to go out there and speak our truth.
Yes, yes, that's really, really important. And that is, what is our concept of ourself? And how are we living our individuality with your special gifts, with what you're here to do in the world? Why are you born? I mean, these are big questions.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how are you thinking? again, like really cleaning up your thoughts, because again, they do impact our reality. It's our reality is a mental framework, actually.
Right. I think. Yeah, there is this theory out there that we taught at St. Johnsbury Academy called choice theory. And it's that if you can monitor your thoughts, get a hold of them, and change them, you can change how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to it. And it you know, that
yes.
is... And that's an air sign-y kind of thing to do, huh?
Yes, and it goes back to the Scorpio power, too, to transform how you're feeling. Nobody else can do that for you. If you don't like how you're feeling, you change it. And that's claiming your power to transform yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's important with
and
all these...
your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And with all these structures trying to impose from outside, yeah.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
keep that autonomy. Isn't
it's
it?
Like even our like herbalism instead of pharmaceuticals, you know, that are like somewhat artificial.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm super excited to hear these talks you've been having with, what was it, David?
David Farrell, quantum plant healer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
so we can find your stuff. Say more about, can you say it again? We're at the top of the hour. I want to make sure folks
okay.
know where to find you, Kelly.
Helia, H-E-L-I-A, star.com. Generally, I put my newsletters up on the website, but I have a lot of categories of my writings in there and things available to listen to. And I am doing those monthly newsletters about the moon cycle, and then David and I are doing a YouTube on that same topic, the moon cycle and what's coming up in the month. So that's kind of how I keep track, and how I like to help. I've been writing these newsletters since 2004, so that's one of my major things, because that's like putting, you know, out what is actually going on astrologically and what are the potentials here. And I'm a Sagittarius. I'm one of those hopeful people.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Why we get along so well. We're like kindred spirits that way.
Yeah. Sagittarius is a pretty positive sign. Most of the time it's very sad when a Sagittarius is depressed.
Yeah.
So, it's like the visionary sign. Now, you have Pluto in Sagittarius if you're born from 95 to 2008, that you'd be a visionary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some visionaries out there listening.
I hope so. Oh. Yeah.
Well, we're nearly to the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Do we want to wind up? I mean, we will wind up because this show will re-air. This first hour will re-air later in the week.
Okay. Well, anything you want to ask to kind of just, you know, complete this in a good way? Anything untethered.
Yeah, so it's the U.S.'s birth chart. It's our Pluto return.
Yes.
What should we be looking for? How should we be preparing ourselves for this?
We take responsibility as citizens to state and live the way we feel is appropriate.
To reconstitute. I like your phrase.
I think that's a great way to say it, because Pluto is like, what is the basic, what is the original premise here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is this country founded on in terms of our principles and our national vision? And get back and at least look at that and see where we're at and see how we can bring that to the next level.
Yeah.
Because we do have a very strong trailblazing energy in this country. And it's that one is coming up. That could be a whole nother show, Amy.
Oh.
The Chiron return.
Oh, the wounded healer, one of my favorites.
Yeah, the teacher healer, the shaman of the solar system.
Let's have you back and talk about that.
Okay.
Because I'm sure we have folks out there who would love to call in with their questions and things.
Yes,
so,
yes, I would love that.
Yeah,
let's do another call-in show.
We will.
Okay.
Definitely this summer we'll celebrate.
Okay.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Kelly Hunter, thank you so much for coming on the 5H show. I'm sorry, 5H show.
Well, that hour went fast, Amy, and thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, we'll have you back. And you listeners out there, have a great time. Enjoy the spring. And I do have just a little gravity song, because that's kind of how I think of how planets are affecting us. if you don't believe in planetary influence, then you must not believe in gravity, right? So,
well, I'm not sure I do, so you be careful on that.
Gravity, interesting. Yeah, well, I mean, the theory, who knows what it is, but it's
energy, it's energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure we don't understand it. Mm. No, not at all. Right. Okay, here we go. Thanks for joining us.